Has the time come is an interesting little question. We're going to sing a final hymn today. And the first verse of that hymn, 316, says, "We limit not the truth of God to our poor reach of mind, to notions of our day and place, crude, partial, and confined. No, let a new and better hope within our hearts be stirred. O God, grant yet more light and truth to break forth from your word." That hymn is actually composed as a metrical version of some words from John Robinson. John Robinson was sort of the founder, we might say, of the United Church of Christ. John Robinson was a pastor of a separatist group in England that left the Church of England, though he was educated in the Church of England as a rector. They left to establish a congregation in Amsterdam. They moved to Leiden in the Netherlands. And then in 1620, about 35 of those people in that small congregation in Leiden, the Netherlands, set off on a boat to eventually go to America. That boat was called the Mayflower. And before they left, Leiden said these words to the congregation as they were leaving. He stayed in the Netherlands to continue to pastor this small group of people who later became known as Congregationalists. "Congregationalists, received any truth from my own ministry, for I am verily persuaded that God hath more truth and light yet to break forth from God's holy word." That's really interesting to me, because I think sometimes we imagine that if a group of pilgrims was setting off from one land to another and were giving a charge by a person who was staying behind, who was a religious leader, that person might have said, "Okay, I want you to obey everything that I have told you, preserve it, pass it on to the people who are after you, and make sure that you don't deviate from these rules and rituals and ties that we've created to bind us together. Now go forth with blessing." John Robinson says something very different. He says, "Go over to this new world recognizing that there is more light and truth yet to break forth. Be ready to receive it." That's interesting. And it reminds me of the passage in Acts today. The Acts passage that Gene just read was right at the beginning of the book of Acts. Luke Acts is one narrative created by Luke. And so as we think through this, the narrative plot, and of course we here at this church see the Bible not as literally true, but we take it seriously, not literally. There are messages to be had through this narrative, and the narrative's interesting. And so the angels come to Mary at the beginning of the story of Luke Acts and say, "The sacred is coming among humankind. I'm going to call that Emmanuel." Surprise! And then at Jesus' baptism, there's a dove that comes out of heaven and meets Jesus at the moment of baptism when he's willing to commit himself to God's purposes. And the voice says, "You are my child." The sacred among the profane. The sacred among us. Jesus works creating small communities of solidarity and care, people who speak the truth and do justice in little pockets throughout Palestine. And because of this, the Roman Empire doesn't like him too much. Creating solidarity amongst peasants in an empire that are thinking new and free thoughts isn't such a great thing for an empire. So Jesus is crucified. But before he's crucified, he meets with people in an upper room around a table and says, "Every time you break bread, you take cup. Remember, this is my body, this is my blood. I am with you, you are with me. I'm not gone. God is not gone. God's presence is not gone." And he dies. 3 days later, people start seeing Jesus in different places. And again, Jesus meets with these disciples, as it says in Acts chapter 1. The disciples are with Jesus, and they say, "So is it time? Is it time for the world to be renewed?" And Jesus says, "Wait, what I promised is coming." And on the day of Pentecost, the story goes, we see the Holy Spirit descend. David Stindl-Rast says something very interesting. If we rename the Holy Spirit Surprise, it might make more sense to us. Surprise! You have the Spirit of God. You thought that Jesus was the one who had the Spirit of God. Now you have the Spirit of God. Guess what? You are the living Christ. You are God's presence in the world. This is a story about you. It wasn't really a story about Jesus. Go do the works of Christ. It's an interesting story about waiting and about not exactly knowing. The text sort of says God is still speaking. And Jesus says to these apostles, just wait. Just wait and you'll figure it out. And nobody likes really times of waiting, do they? Or times of transition or times of not knowing what comes next. And these disciples certainly didn't like it. The question right at the end of the passage is, has the time come? Jesus, no, the time hasn't come. Wait. In the Old Testament reading today, the Hebrew scripture reading of the psalm, the psalmist says, it is a new day. It is a new day, and the new day requires a new song. Doesn't it say that? Let the trees of the forest sing too before God's coming, the one who comes to judge, the one who comes to bring peace. It's a new day for a new song. And you just have to wait for it. I was given a book by Norm Gearhart a couple of weeks ago, Meditations of the Heart by Howard Thurman. Howard Thurman, longtime chaplain at Boston University, originally an American Baptist, writes a meditation number 45, which I was reading this week, and it's entitled, I Will Sing a New Song. He starts it out like this. The old song of my spirit has wearied itself out. It has long ago been learned by heart so that now it repeats itself over and over, bringing no added joy to my days or lift to my spirit. It is a good song, measured to a rhythm to which I am bound by ties of habit and timidity of mind. The words belong to old experiences, which once sprang fresh as water from a mountain crevice fed by melting snows. But my life has passed beyond to other levels where the old song now is meaningless. I demand of the old song that it meet the need of my present urgencies. And also I know that the work of the old song, so perfect in its place, is not for this new demand. I will sing a new song. I wonder if the disciples who were waiting there saying, what's coming? What's the shape of things to come? What is the shape of things to come? Had any idea what the shape of things to come would be? It was a transition period, one of those periods of waiting, knowing that the old way of thinking about the world was gone, but not exactly knowing what the new way was going to look like. And isn't our day too one of these days? This is what makes the Bible interesting, is we have these archetypes that continue to speak to generation after generation. And as I think about our day, think about the wonder of this period of time we're living in. We Homo sapiens have only been around for, what, 25,000 years, which is a blip on the geological timeline of, what, 13 billion years of the evolution of our planet. We've been around for 25,000 years in our present form, more or less. And in the last 200 years, think of the amazing changes that have happened with us and with this world. In the last 200 years, we have learned to fly like birds. We have learned to dive to the depths of the ocean like the fishes. We have set off from the face of this little rock and gone to the moon. We have figured out ways to communicate with one another instantaneously around the entire globe. We have grown in stature because we've figured out that we can heal ourselves in ways we never could have imagined before. Nobel Prize-winning atmospheric chemist Paul Crutzen, who regards the influence of human behavior on the Earth's atmosphere in recent centuries as so significant as to constitute a new epoch, now calls this the Anthropocene era, because we know now that we have the ability to change the world. This is something new for human beings. After August 6, 1945, we made discoveries. We figured out that we could wipe ourselves and all living things on this planet out if we wanted to. And we've figured out in the last 30 years that we can change the actual biosphere in which we live by our activity. It is a new age with new demands that have been set upon us. Socially and mentally, we're changing. We're in the middle of this pivot period. It's a period of confusion and anxiety, not knowing what the future will hold. And we're sort of like chicks pecking our way out of an old eggshell, trying to figure out if we're ready for this new world. We can see a little bit through it that maybe we're going to have to stop thinking of ourselves as Americans or Brazilians or Canadians and start thinking of ourselves as earthlings. But we're not there yet. We don't have the systems to be able to do that yet, economically or socially. Religiously, we're changing. The old song is wearing itself out. You see it in the declining attendance of people at church, people who don't understand the old song anymore, because the old song doesn't speak to the new reality. And as Howard Thurman said, we need a new song. I need a new song. What is the new song going to be? What's the new song going to be that takes us forward? That's an interesting question. It requires a radical openness. It requires a sitting there not knowing and saying, is it time yet? We don't know. Is it time yet? It's brewing. Nobody likes that feeling, does it? But here's the wonderful thing that we have in our tradition, this idea of the Holy Spirit, or surprise. There's surprise. And sometimes it's important just to be quiet enough to be surprised. Because we go on and on and on. We churn forward. We grind our lives out as if this is not such an amazing era that we live in, forgetting that this is a crucial time in the history of our planet, and each one of our actions is crucial to the well-being of all living things. To just slow down and realize, maybe I need to just wait until I can be surprised by a new little word that might take me in a different direction, a better direction. We are writing right now a new, complex, beautiful song. What will we be calling good in the next 2,000 years? 2,000 years from now, what will we call good? What will we call sacred 2,000 years? What will we call sacred 10,000?